This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy moving to stop funding for the mRNA vaccine, which was instrumental in the fight against COVID during the pandemic. ABC Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Tara Narula says a lot of health experts are concerned.
They say, look, mRNA vaccines are safe. They can be produced rapidly. They have saved millions of lives. And we are using them to do research on things like HIV and cancer and RSV and CMV and all kinds of other viruses, even the flu virus. So that this is going to leave us very vulnerable. This is potentially a dangerous decision, according to many health experts.
Texas Republicans still trying to force Texas Democrats to return to the state to vote on new congressional maps that were drawn up after President Trump said he wanted five more GOP seats from Texas in next fall's midterms. Vice President J.D. Vance preparing to host a top administration officials this evening for what's being called a strategy session on how to best deal with the Jeffrey Epstein files. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thied. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports late Saturday afternoon at approximately 4:45, the Sheriff's Office 911 Dispatch Center received a report of a motorcycle crash on State Highway 33 near Taylor Valley Road, rural Ontario, in the town of Whitestown. Sabrina Marie Sanderson, age 24, of Lannan, was operating a motorcycle traveling south and struck a guardrail in a curve. Sanderson was ejected, and the riderless motorcycle crossed the roadway and struck an embankment on the opposite side. Sanderson sustained substantial injuries and was transported to Ontario's Town Square to rendezvous with Amplify Air and flown to Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. The sheriff's deputy investigating the crash said that the full-face helmet she was wearing almost certainly saved her life when her face hit the guardrail. We're getting closer to the start of the school year, and that means more kids walking or biking early in the morning and in the early afternoon. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation reminds drivers the August law of the month is school bus safety. They say traffic patterns change when school is in session. You'll see more school buses on the road, and you need to be mindful of your surroundings to help keep kids safe. Each year, more than 600 crashes happen in Wisconsin involving school buses. The Wisconsin DOT says these crashes are preventable. Remember the rules. When you see flashing red lights, stop at least 20 feet away in both directions. Flashing amber or yellow lights mean the bus is about to stop, so you should slow down and be ready to stop. For WRCE News, I'm Tim Thied.
Quay Walker is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Green Bay, where the Packers finally have their middle linebacker, Quay Walker, back in action. The former first-round pick suffered an ankle injury last December against the Seahawks, but didn't have surgery until May.
I thought it was just a high ankle, so I thought it was just something that just was lingering on at the moment. And then I came back for OTAs and tried to do something. I just knew something wasn't feeling right. I didn't want it to, like, just to linger on throughout the season. So I was like, I think the smart idea, probably going to have surgery during OTAs and get it out the way.
Baseball. The Brewers beat the Braves again, this time 7-2. Nothing special, just walks, stealing bases, RBIs.
We packed away and got it done, but they left a lot of guys on base. It's kind of a little bit nerve-wracking. Freddie made some big pitches at some big times. You know, he really did. Credit to him.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. The series wrapping up today in Atlanta with sports on Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, 66. Some showers and storms possible for your Thursday, otherwise partly sunny and a high of 85. On Friday, sunny and hot, near 90 degrees, and low 90s on Saturday.
Currently 59 degrees. For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Actor Neil McDonough. If you saw his face or if you Google him right now, you'll recognize him. He refuses to kiss another woman on camera. On the one hand, I applaud him for not kissing anyone other than his wife. But she says, I don't have a problem with him if he wanted to kiss another woman. As someone who's done it, it doesn't really feel like cheating because there's people in the room. It's very mechanical.
You did write it yourself.
I did write it myself.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, political consultant Joseph Pecky will join us. We're also going to talk tariffs and so much more with Derek Van Ruden and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. It is 8:06 on this sixth day of August. It's a Wednesday morning. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson is producing this fine program down in Madison at Studio A2. Earl Ingram is standing by in Milwaukee in just a bit. First, we're going to bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot for an update on a forecast that is less smoky, but it's going to be hot. And
yes.
It's going to be a little wetter than it has been lately. Welcome to summer.
Changing. Yeah, we do.
It's one of those, you know, we'd love to joke in the Midwest, if you don't like the weather, you know, wait 5 minutes, it'll change. And I think that's what's made things a little weird around here is that we've had this smoky weather for so many days in a row now. It's not like us to have a situation stick around for a long time, but change is finally going to be a constant once again around Wisconsin.
And I think a lot of us are welcoming that right now. We're a little sick of this wildfire smoke still lingering. It is actually getting thicker right now in the southern parts of the state near Madison. It's even creeping up to unhealthy levels for all of us into the Appleton area. Stevens Point is also seeing levels, AQIs, in the 150 range. So it's getting worse right now in central and southern Wisconsin as we've got winds moving in the northern part of the state. So that's why it's cleared out of that area much more. And it's still kind of hanging out south and east. So an air quality alert still in effect until noon. I do think that the winds are going to start to shift off of the lake, Lake Michigan, and really start to get gusty probably this evening, early this evening. So if it's not gone by this afternoon, early this evening, it is going to get on out of here. We've got another system moving in. It's already starting to push some light drizzle, scattered sprinkles in towards Superior and the Hayward area. Eau Claire, you could see a few of those over the next hour or two. And that is going to be working its way through the state. So clouds increasing this afternoon, chances for spotty drizzle, nothing major. And of course, temperatures hitting those low to mid 80s today. Now by tomorrow, it's going to become muggy, low to mid 80s. So feeling warmer than it will today. And we're turning hot and humid, too. Got a lot of weather still to deal with tomorrow. We're looking at overnight, maybe some rain and thunder, and we could see some more lingering still into Friday morning. Friday is the hot and humid day. We're talking temperatures pushing 90 degrees, humidity, dew points in those mid-70s, so feeling more like the mid to upper 90s, both Friday and Saturday before a cold front hits us on Saturday. And then takes its time moving through the state on Sunday. So a lot more severe chances moving in over the weekend, but still scattered showers and storms expected by tonight and through tomorrow.
Ah, but the 90s are coming back for a little visit here. Yeah, right. We have spent so much time indoors in air conditioning, even when it was hot because of the smoke, that we haven't really had the chance to like enjoy the 90s in terms of, you know, what's your getaway when it's really hot and you're not in the house? Do you want to be at a pool, a lake? Do you have a favorite way to get away or deal with the hot weather when you're outside?
I sure do. It's definitely the water, any type of water. I stand up paddleboard, so that's nice. Okay. You know, Oops, mm-hmm. I fell in. Or you can lay on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Oopsies.
Oops. But I love, love, love going up to Lake Superior, especially right now in August when the water is warm enough to actually get in, but it's crisp and cool. And you also get that lake breeze, too, so it's cooler by the lake. I love Lake Superior. Very nice.
I've discovered shade. Good job, Pat. Yeah. I've discovered that if you've got a hammock and you can get that hammock in just the right shady spot where you can get whatever little breeze is there, but you're not getting the sun. Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, it's no substitute for a lake or a pool, but it's not a bad runner up.
Oh, that is so relaxing. Much. And the breeze going through the leaves and you're just reading a book on the hammock. Yes.
Yeah. Or a pontoon or an open Jeep and then just gun it. Ooh. So give yourself a breeze.
Yeah.
That all works well, too. Brittany, thank you so much. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Let's bring in Earl Ingram, and you can get his podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram, by heading over to civicmedia.us and learning more. Earl, let's start with the hot weather here. Good morning. Hope you're well. I know that growing up in the city like I did, I mean, we didn't have community pools, all right? You had to go to one of the lakes and hope that you didn't get chiggers, you know, swimmer's itch. And sometimes you did, and you needed that calamine lotion and everything. But, you know, those lakes were the only thing that we had going. People would go into the Chippewa River or Lake Altoona, whatever. You know, how would you best describe a hot weather getaway if you got to deal with the heat around your neck of the woods?
Well, you know, going down by the lake, you know, I think one of the things that people might miss about the city of Milwaukee is we're on a lake. Mm-hmm. And it's not talked about much, but, you know, you're not far away from a beautiful Lake Michigan. And, you know, it's a bus ride, a city bus ride away. And you can get there, and it is spectacular. The view is spectacular, and there's a lot of activities there on that lake, and so that's always a great place for me to go. It's very scenic, and you know, I think it's just kind of taken for granted.
Yeah, no. When I lived there in the late 80s, early 90s, the city slogan was a great place by a great lake. And I don't know why they stopped using that, because it works perfectly there. They love to talk about it being cooler by the lake. And they take that not just as a weather thing, but as life. Life is a little cooler by the lake. It's a wonderful air conditioner when you get a chance to get down and enjoy it. But
well, young people especially take advantage of it.
Yeah, very much so. But of course, you normally don't get to hang out by the lake because you're like me. You're working too much. And if I'm still doing at 71, being 61 now, when I get to be 71 like you, if I'm still working this hard, I hope somebody chides me the way I'm chiding you and telling you to enjoy the lake a little bit more often. But you are. You keep working. You've got this podcast going. We're going to talk about Negro League history in a sec. But you're continuing your conversations with Dr. Howard Fuller. And we're going to get into the ongoing problem of literacy, something that I worked on here in the Chippewa Valley, something that is an ongoing problem throughout Wisconsin, certainly no different down where you are in Milwaukee.
You know, I think what has transpired is technology. There's several things and reasons why literacy is such a major issue in this country. America ranks anywhere between 14th and 125th. In literacy and in this world, and depending on who's, you know, doing the figuring, the fact, even if we're 14th, people should stop and pause and take a look at that, because it wasn't so long ago that America was, you know, in the top 3, 4, 5 when you and I were youngsters. And to see that we've fallen that far, and I think there are many different reasons. Technology clearly is one of those. The way reading had been taught, and when I was a young boy, it was phonics, and some brilliant person decided that whole language was the way to teach children. We tinkered with that for decades and found out that that was really a major mistake, but I believe somebody made a lot of money off of that deal. And young people have suffered. Clearly, COVID had something to do with it, but technology and all those things. It is Dr. Fuller's belief that the way reading is being taught, and that educators, through no fault of their own, don't know how to teach reading anymore. And so he's challenging universities. There's a new reading plan that he has in place. And for those who don't know Dr. Fuller, he's one of the foremost people in this nation when it comes to education. And so, you know, we're going to continue to have these conversations with Dr. Fuller about what has happened to our young people in reading and education.
Yeah, and it's work that, look, if somebody gets through the entire school process and they're still having literacy issues, it's a very real thing that prevents you from getting, you know, a better job than maybe the lower paying one that you've got. The work that I did for about a decade with literacy volunteers of the Chippewa Valley showed that it doesn't matter where you are. There are people who, for various reasons, either they kind of didn't take their learning seriously and they skated through, or they faced other environmental reasons why learning was not really encouraged and fostered under their roof. And so I would just urge people to continue to support not just, you know, their schools for teaching literacy, but the organizations that try to help out as well. And again, Earl, it's, you know, it's everywhere. It's not Milwaukee. It's across this nation, like you just said, where we need to take literacy much more seriously than folks did for a while.
Well, let me ask you, it's, having said what you just said, and I'm in agreement with you 100%, taking off PBS doesn't make it any better.
No. Yes. My goodness, no. No. It is just, we don't even, I don't want to get too far on this soapbox, but, you know, when you talk about technology, we have tools that are out there and we're not using them. And in fact, we're removing some of the tools like the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and PBS. But even if you come back during the pandemic, mini rant coming here. Not long ago, all the TV stations were given multiple channels. Okay, you can go to channel 4 and they got 4.1, 4.2, 4.3, 4.4. And what do you see on there? Nothing but oldies, old movies, things like that. What they told us at the time was we're going to use some of those sub channels for, like, you know, public service and education. And why during the pandemic you didn't see more of these TV stations using, you know, 4.2, 6.2, 12.2 to allow educators to continue talking to the kids is a mystery I will never get over. And please forgive the mini rant, but when you bring that up, it really hits a sore point with me that we could be doing so much better in our media addressing learning and especially literacy.
You know, I almost believe that this is done for a nefarious reason. And, you know, if you've been around long enough, you can kind of see that. Mm-hmm. It certainly does not make sense that for a nation that prides itself in a robust future, if children can't read, the future of the nation is not very bright.
No, and not if you're undermining, you know, our public schools as well through, you know, things like austerity type budgets. Forgive me, I had so much to say about that I've eaten up a lot of our time. Are you able to hang around after the break and talk about the Negro Leagues?
Absolutely.
All right, I'd appreciate that. Some of you will have a local break coming up here in just a moment. And if you don't get a chance to hear us, come back and subscribe to the show as a podcast. And then you can just catch that on demand anytime. Head over to Spotify or Apple and subscribe as a podcast, or head over to civicmedia.us. Every one of our hours is an episode, and you can just listen back to the episode of that particular hour about what we do. And by the way, the same goes for your local cut-ins. You can head to your local civic media station and listen back to the work that's being done on the local level. All right, before that break, I've got just enough time to talk to you about the Brewers, because again, 5 games in a row for the Brewers. They beat Atlanta 7-2 last night. The current winning streak for the Brewers is 5 games. Their lead over the Chicago Cubs is now 4 games in the National League Central Division. Freddie Peralta went 5 innings, allowed only 1 run on 4 hits. Andrew Vaughn singled in 2 runs. He now has an 11-game hitting streak that matches the longest of his career. And Isaac Collins, a candidate for National League Rookie of the Year, Well, he drove in two runs on two hits as well. Jose Quintana starts game three. Pregame across several Civic Media stations can be heard starting at 5:40. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger, who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Matt and Air on Air.
I have a baby bird stuck in a birdhouse.
Its head is stuck. Terry on the text line says, if you can detach the birdhouse, bring it to Ace Hardware, they can help get the bird out?
Really? Richard from Waukesha, you get the last word on this.
I like the idea of the Ace Hardware.
Yeah.
But some advice is don't let them talk you into a remodeled bathroom.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports late Saturday afternoon at approximately 4:45, the Sheriff's Office 911 Dispatch Center received a report of a motorcycle crash on State Highway 33 near Taylor Valley Road, rural Ontario, in the town of Whitestown. Sabrina Marie Sanderson, age 24, of Lannan, was operating a motorcycle traveling south and struck a guardrail in a curve. Sanderson was ejected, and the riderless motorcycle crossed the roadway and struck an embankment on the opposite side. Sanderson sustained substantial injuries and was transported to Ontario's Town Square to rendezvous with Amplify Air and flown to Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. The sheriff's deputy investigating the crash said that the full-face helmet she was wearing almost certainly saved her life when her face hit the guardrail. Assisting the sheriff's office were the Ontario Fire Department, Ontario Emergency Medical Service Ambulance, and Amplify Air Helicopter. The crash remains under investigation by the sheriff's office. The recent air quality alerts were a result of Canadian wildfire smoke that made its way into the area. What caused this to happen? Brittany Merlot reports.
A high-pressure system is to blame for dragging in Canada's wildfire smoke. Now, the system was parked north, and as it slid directly over the Midwest, it took the smoke with it. And these pressure systems bring calm conditions, light winds, and sunny skies. Instead, we've been stuck in a haze. Because how this weather system works is it takes the air above and sinks it to the ground. Now, some are feeling health issues and side effects from breathing in the polluted air. Looking back at 2023, we had two-day hits of air quality alerts. It never lasted any longer. For example, June 27th to 29th, the alert was in effect for two consecutive days. Then again on July 14th through the 16th. Now this stretch we're in now, it's like the seventh inning of a non-scoring baseball game where it drags. As of August 5th, it's been an entire week. 7 days straight. Now in some places, the alert expired on Saturday, but that still marks a record of 4 days in a row. The high-pressure system and thickest smoke is now slowly sliding to the east, hugging the Great Lakes and devouring New York. Meanwhile, a low-pressure system is building to the west and headed our way. This will kick up winds and shift the air mass out of here. For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Wisconsin Elections Commission deactivated 192,369 voter registrations on Friday through the four-year maintenance process required by the law. The individuals deactivated by the WEC had not voted in the past 4 years and did not have a record of responding to a mailing from the agency regarding their registration status, said Megan Wolf, the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The commission is required by state law every 2 years to conduct voter record maintenance to identify individuals who have not voted in the previous 4 years and to deactivate their registration status unless they notify the clerk that they wish to remain registered. Wolf said the required review helps ensure the integrity of the statewide voter database. Individuals whose voter registration status is deactivated can no longer vote using that voter record and must re-register to vote at their current address. It has been a year and a half since 18-year-old Isaiah Kramer mysteriously vanished, and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children continues to work closely with the Waukesha County Sheriff's Office in the search for Isaiah. Police say that on February 4, 2024, Isaiah went missing after leaving Norris Treatment Facility in Maguanago when he was just 16 years old. Later that night, Isaiah was captured on a trail camera in the area, but there has been no confirmed sightings since. Isaiah's mother, Kim Kramer, shared that the family has never given up hope and remains committed to bringing him home safely. To generate fresh leads in this case, NCMEC and its partner, GSTV, a national digital video network, will display Isaiah's poster on gas station screens across Wisconsin during the month of August. This increased exposure aims to renew attention on his case and help finally bring his family answers. Isaiah is described as 5 feet 8 inches tall, weighs 200 pounds when he was last seen, and has brown eyes and brown hair. He may be in need of medical attention. If you have any information about Isaiah or his disappearance, please contact MCMEC at 1-800-THE-LOST. That's 1-800-843-5678, or the Waukesha County Sheriff's Office at 262-446-5070. His family has a Facebook dedicated to finding Isaiah, which has more than 2,600 members. The Walk with Grace Captain's Night and Survivor Reception will be held tonight beginning at 5 at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. The evening will include a free will donation pizza buffet and a short program at 6 featuring researchers from the Carbone Cancer Center in Madison and Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. Cancer survivors are also invited to register and receive a free gift. Team captains are urged to turn in team packets. All calendar raffle tickets and luminaries sold must be turned in at this time to count towards the team's total for the year. Money can be turned in at the walk, but will not count towards the team total. We're getting closer to the start of the school year, and that means more kids walking or biking early in the morning and in the early afternoon. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation reminds drivers the August law of the month is school bus safety. They say traffic patterns change when school is in session. You'll see more school buses on the road, and you need to be mindful of your surroundings to help keep kids safe. Each year, more than 600 crashes happen in Wisconsin involving school buses. The Wisconsin DOT says these crashes are preventable. Remember the rules. When you see flashing red lights, stop at least 20 feet away in both directions. Flashing amber or yellow lights mean the bus is about to stop, so you should slow down and be ready to stop.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thede. The Wisconsin Elections Commission deactivated 192,369 voter registrations on Friday through the four-year maintenance process required by the law. The individuals deactivated by the WEC had not voted in the past 4 years and did not have a record of responding to a mailing from the agency regarding their registration status, said Megan Wolf, the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The commission is required by state law every 2 years to conduct voter record maintenance to identify individuals who have not voted in the previous 4 years and to deactivate their registration status unless they notify the clerk that they wish to remain registered. Wolf said the required review helps ensure the integrity of the statewide voter database. Individuals whose voter registration status is deactivated can no longer vote using that voter record and must re-register to vote at their current address. In June, the commission identified 202,593 registered voters with no record of voting since the November 2020 presidential election. The commission mailed notice of suspension postcards to these voters, asking them whether they wanted to remain active on the state's voter list. To remain active, voters had 30 days to mail a return postcard to their municipal clerk, which 9,501 voters did. Voters with no record of responding or whose postcard was returned as undeliverable by the post office were deactivated. For WRCE News, I'm Tim Thede.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Actor Jonathan Joss was fatally shot outside his home after a fight with a neighbor in early June. Joss had played John Redcorn on King of the Hill since 1996 after the original voice actor who played Redcorn passed away. Redcorn was honored during the season 14 finale of the show Monday night. Zigfredo Alvarez was charged with first-degree murder after the shooting but was later released on a $200,000 bond. San Antonio police initially said the murder of Joss, who was gay, had nothing to do with his sexuality, but have since walked that back, saying that they spoke too soon and the investigation is ongoing. San Antonio Police Chief William McManus recently expressed sympathy to the San Antonio LGBTQ plus community over the loss of Joss and says the department is committed to pursuing every lead in the tragic case. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, 66. Some showers and storms possible for your Thursday, otherwise partly sunny and a high of 85. On Friday, sunny and hot, near 90 degrees and low 90s on Saturday.
Right now, it's 61 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome into the studio Northeast Wisconsin filmmaker Craig Kinnett, and Northeast Wisconsin singer-songwriter DeAndre Marie performs live. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Hey, sign up for our newsletters at upnorthnewswi.com. Subscribe up in the top banner there, and you can get things like our Sunday morning newsletter about Wisconsin politics. It includes a question of the week where I ask how Democrat-led states should deal with Republican-controlled states like Texas that are continuing to gerrymander their congressional maps. Should they respond in kind or not sink to that level? Again, head to upnorthnewswi.com to learn more. Time for our climate check. Melissa Baldoff with us, as well as Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters. It is nice to have you both here. Casey, I'm going to set this up with familiar territory from me and Melissa. Melissa, how many times have we likened what's happening in Washington, D.C. right now to, like, you know, the supervillains in a Hollywood disaster blockbuster? I mean, it's
been a number of times.
It's been the narrative for a reason.
Because it keeps happening.
Well, yeah, because it's happening. And the most recent one that we wanted Casey to talk about comes from Lee Zeldin, the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency. Now we have to put protection in quotation marks, that says that they are going to rescind what's known as the endangerment finding. It's one of the basic building blocks of protecting our climate. And Casey's going to explain what it is. But as he explains this, I just want you to keep the visual in mind that the EPA administrator, Lee Zeldin, did all this while speaking at a truck dealership in Indianapolis. I want to say you cannot make this stuff up, but this is where we are. Casey, good morning. Let's start with what the endangerment finding is.
Sure. And good morning. Thanks, Pat, for having me. I'm happy to be here on the show with you and Melissa. So the endangerment finding came out of a 2007 Supreme Court ruling, Massachusetts v. EPA, that set the cornerstone for the endangerment finding to actually come out itself in 2009. Basically, what it said is that EPA is legally required to regulate carbon dioxide and a mix of other greenhouse gases, including things like methane, perfluorocarbons, etc. It's required to do so underneath the Clean Air Act. It was a very clear decision. It was a 5-4 decision. It found that the definition of air pollutants to be unambiguous. And at the time, this was during the Bush administration, EPA was kind of dodging the question on whether or not they should be actually regulating carbon dioxide and this mix of other greenhouse gas emissions. Massachusetts, along with several other states, sued to get to this decision. But in essence, the Supreme Court said that the EPA couldn't use policy preferences to avoid regulation, but it needs to be based on sound science and evidence, which it clearly is. So that is what led to EPA actually creating the endangerment finding in 2009. And since then, it's been the backbone of several different EPA regulations with vehicle emissions, power plants, so on and so forth, and really is the most powerful tool, for EPA and the government to be fighting climate change in a regulatory sense.
And so essentially, in rescinding this declaration, what they're saying is fail to recognize basic science. Am I pretty much getting that right?
Yeah, very much so. And I would say it's even going further than that. The new science, and I'm going to use quotation marks there, that EPA and Department of Energy and Lee Zeldin are using is really pseudoscience, unsound, and flies in the face of, at this point, decades of very sound science from hundreds, thousands of scientists in the U.S. and across the globe.
Now, again, Zeldin said the proposal would erase limits on greenhouse gas emissions from cars and trucks on the nation's roads. Melissa, again, as he said, the proposal would, if finalized, amount to the largest deregulatory action in the history of the United States. He was bragging about this while speaking at a truck dealership. Melissa, let me turn it over to you for any questions to Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, the more we see about this, this, you know, just strikes me as something that is, you know, not about the next, you know, 3.5 years of the Trump administration, but this is about, you know, them really, you know, undermining and essentially, you know, invalidating any possibility for the EPA to do its work going forward, you know, for the next, you know, forever, right? I mean, this seems like this is them trying to make this, you know, permanent, trying to make it as hard as possible for, you know, a new administration, a new Congress, anyone who recognizes science and wants to actually get back on the right path. It seems like if they are successful here, it's going to make that a lot harder for a future administration, future Congress. Is that your, you know, kind of assessment as well? Or, you know, how hard is this to, you know, undo, you know, once this has been unleashed and, you know, done?
Yeah. So I want to be clear that if the endangerment finding goes through this rulemaking process, it's going to take several months to actually rescind it. We're going to be going through a comment period up until about September 15th. And there's going to be testimony that folks can take part in August 19th and 20th. So there's time to make our voices heard on protecting this. But yes, if it does go away, then we're taking away the cornerstone to many other climate and greenhouse gas regulations that exist. So part of this rollout for rescinding the endangerment finding was also taking back the 2024 emission standards that were just finished up last year. And basically they're using the endangerment finding, in their words, not being sound, taking mental leaps, to say that vehicle emission standards that were based on it, that use it as its cornerstone, are not possible and that they can't do them. And so this is one part of a larger strategy that the Trump administration has been carrying out since the second term, but arguably in their first term, they tried to carry it out as well. And thankfully, there were roadblocks then. But at this point, it's very clear that they want to remove the endangerment findings so that they can start picking away at these other climate laws and regulations. And you're right, Melissa, really changed the landscape of laws and regulations having to do with protecting our public health and protecting ourselves from climate change going forward.
We are talking to Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters. And the New York Times marks that this is a notable shift in the Trump administration's position that originally had simply downplayed the threat of global warming to one that now essentially flatly denies the overwhelming scientific evidence of climate change. The Times writes it would not only reverse current regulations, but if the move is upheld in court, it could make it significantly harder for future administrations to rein in climate pollution from the burning of coal, oil, and gas. Now, we could wallow in this for hours and hours. I'm going to try, Casey, to make this a glass half full thing, or at least get your impression on it, that there may be, because of the ongoing advocacy for a cleaner climate, that even if the government is busy denying basic science, that there will still be an advocacy and a consumer push that will lead automakers to say, instead of saying, oh, there's no more rules, we can race to the bottom, is to continue to embrace cleaner burning vehicles. Is that still a possibility, or is it your fear that a race to the bottom in terms of emissions is going to get started?
I do think it's clear that in many cases, industry is moving towards more efficient vehicles. I don't know if you can quite say the same right now for power plants with the rise of AI and data centers that they, and with the loss of tax credits recently in the budget reconciliation bill, that we're going to have as much progress in curbing climate change and investing in renewables and making vehicles more efficient, cleaner, without those tools, and especially without the endangerment finding. But I think it is really important to stress right now that people's comments during this period, talking about the endangerment finding and what it means for your daily lives, is really important, both in the rulemaking process itself and when there's no doubt that there's going to be litigation that'll come out once this rule is possibly finalized, if it is. Our very first backstop is to have folks submit comments, show up to provide testimony at EPA hearings that I mentioned earlier on August 19th and 20th, and talk about how climate change is affecting them, because it is affecting us right now. We've all seen and experienced the last week in seeing just thick haze hanging in the air over the entire state of Wisconsin and much of the Midwest. The last 10 years, each year has been the hottest year on record. And in Wisconsin, we've also seen just worse and worse severe weather that's more frequent, much more severe. And so climate change is happening. We're in the midst of it right now. We're close to the tipping point, which is why it's so important to speak out to protect the endangerment finding. And additionally, I mentioned there's going to be inevitable litigation if this goes through. Having people comment and have a public record that this is something the public does not want to go away is going to be important for any potential lawsuits that come forward too.
And we're talking to Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters, along with Melissa Baldoff, for this week's Climate Check. So in closing that part of our discussion, Casey, what would you like folks to do? Where can they go to learn more?
Yeah, folks can go to our website, conservationvoters.org. They can sign up for our email alerts, and pretty soon we'll be sending out more information on how people can sign up for the comment period with EPA, sign up to testify. And we recommend that folks do so as soon as possible. Anyone is allowed to testify. The EPA asks people to pre-register by August 12th. So we're recommending people register by then. And so if folks would like to get more info and learn how to sign up and have talking points and info to make the best testimony and comment possible, go to our website, conservationvoters.org, and sign up for our email alerts.
I appreciate that very much. And Casey, you're about to learn why Melissa has the most thankless job in Wisconsin radio right now, is that I sometimes read other climate headlines to her and just simply ask her to react and not use any naughty words on the radio. The headline from National Public Radio: why a NASA satellite that scientists and farmers rely on may be destroyed on purpose. The Trump administration has asked NASA to drop plans to end at least two major satellite missions. If the plans are carried out, one of the missions would be permanently terminated because the satellite would burn up in the atmosphere. The data the two missions collect is widely used by scientists, oil and gas companies, and farmers who need detailed information about carbon dioxide and crop health. They are the only two federal satellite missions that were designed and built specifically to monitor planet-warming greenhouse gases. Melissa, In 20 seconds, what kind of a world are we live in where the president of the United States would rather let a satellite burn up in orbit than get data on climate change?
Well, sadly, we live in Donald Trump's world, because this is his MO. He rejects science, and he would rather destroy things to prove a point than to let anyone benefit from, from science, they've got a stockpile of food and birth control they're going to light on fire.
Exactly. So there you go. And she did it without saying any naughty words whatsoever. Melissa, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters. We'll wrap things up with a local break for some of you. Others, James Kelly from Chippewa Falls after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shoman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, and State Treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I am Phil Nee, and this is an update on sports from Richland Center. First of all, high school football practice got underway yesterday. So high school fall sports are back, and there are plenty of changes for the upcoming school year in Wisconsin. A new policy allows for name, image, and likeness deals, meaning that high school student athletes can receive compensation for NIL. However, the new policy is extremely restrictive on who can pay a student and what products, services, or materials a student can endorse. Another new rule this year will require any spectator removed from an event to take an online sportsmanship course before being allowed back and after serving a one-game suspension. Fall sports will begin competition this month and run through state championship events in October and November. The 2025 Richland Center Church League softball tournament got underway last night. Free Methodist won the play-in bracket game 18-3 over Grace Community. Andy Niemeyer had two home runs and combined with Adam Burns, Mike Monty as well for 13 total hits and 13 runs scored. Church of the Nazarene down Knights of Columbus 13-6. Jared McCollum had a home run in the win. Sean Ruland was 5-for-5. Josh Kepler had three hits for the KCs. Richland Baptist Temple 1 defeated Boscobel Assembly of God 22-6. Ira Coppernall had two home runs, while Fletcher Harper and Andrew Knabel each tallied one, and Mitchell Woodman added three hits for Baptist Temple. The Mission advanced, topping Free Methodist 22-7. Maddie McGlynn was 3-for-4 with a home run, and Adam Windsor reached base safely all five times, knocking in 8 runs. Mike Monty led Free Methodist going 3-for-3. St. Mary's outscored Richland Baptist Temple 2-10-3. The game was close until the sixth inning when the bats came alive for St. Mary's. Jordan Keegan had 2 home runs. Stephanie Sherman, along with Mason Jelenic and Hayden Jelenic, had key base hits to keep the momentum going. And Richland Baptist Temple 2 eliminated Boscobel Assembly of God on the final game of the night, 19-6. The tournament continues next week on Tuesday, the 12th of August. At 6:45, the Mission will play Church of the Nazarene. Richland Baptist Temple 1 will umpire. At 8 p.m., Richland Baptist Temple 1 plays St. Mary's. The winner of the 6:45 game will umpire. At 9:15, the winner of the 8 p.m. West game will take on the loser of the 8 p.m. East game. The winner of the 8 o'clock East game will umpire. On the West Diamond, next Tuesday at 6:45, Free Methodist will play Grace Community. Knights of Columbus will umpire. At 8 p.m., winner of the 6:45 takes on Knights of Columbus, and the loser of the 6:45 game will umpire. And at 9:15, Richland Baptist Temple 2 takes on the loser of the Mission Nazarene game. Loser of the 8 o'clock West game will umpire. Action continues on Thursday next week. The 14th updated tournament brackets will be available on the league's website at rcchurchleague.com. Quail Run had its Tuesday Men's Golf League action last night, week 16 of the 20-week schedule. Rich Barrancott and J.J. Klatt tied for the top scores with 39s, a 40 for Neil Mahoney, including a birdie on hole 1, and Pat Keegan with a 40. 41s for Brandon Miller and Ken Nick Sr. Brandon birdied hole 8, as did Ken Nick Sr. Other golfers with holes played under par, Aaron Halvorsen birdied hole 1 and had a birdie on hole 8. Ryan Pogstad birdied hole 1. Steve Gary birdied hole 1. Also, Dale Mortimer with a birdie on hole 1. Birdies on hole 3 for Wally Wachter and Steve Davis. Nate Raish with a birdie on hole 5. Jim Kataravic birdied hole 8. Also, Dan Prohaska and Jim Johnson had birdies on hole 8. Flag prize winners, Dennis McHugh with the closest second shot on hole 2. Rich Barrancott with the closest third shot on hole 4. Ryan Pogstad, closest to the pin shot on hole 7, and Jim Johnson with the longest putt on hole 8 during Quail Run Tuesday Men's Golf League action. A 7-2 win at Atlanta last night extends the Brewers' winning streak to 5 games in a row. A four-run explosion in the third inning blew a scoreless game wide open. Andrew Vaughn and Isaac Collins drove in 2 runs apiece. Freddy Peralta got the pitching victory after giving up just 1 run in 5 innings. Manager Pat Murphy talked about his impressive team.
This is a game that easily, when the other team leaves 14 on base and only scores 2 runs, they certainly didn't get the big hit. So we were fortunate. We got to look at that as, we're fortunate to take advantage of some walks, but that's who we are.
The Brewers have been doing it through the year.
We pecked away and got it done, but they left a lot of guys on base. It's kind of a little bit nerve-wracking. Freddie made some big pitches at some big times. He really did. Credit to him.
And at the same time, the Cubs were losing to Cincinnati 5-1. San Francisco 8-1 over Pittsburgh. It was the L.A. Dodgers beating St. Louis 12-6, San Diego 10, and Arizona 5. In the American League, Boston 6, Kansas City 2, Minnesota 6-3 over Detroit, Texas 2, the Yankees nothing, Tampa Bay beat the L.A. Angels 7-3, Seattle 8, and the White Sox 3. Interleague play, Philadelphia 5-0 over Baltimore, Houston 7, Miami 3, Cleveland 3-2 over the Mets, the Athletics 16, Washington 7, Toronto 10-4 over Colorado. A knee injury will keep the new Packer cornerback, Nate Hobbs, on the sidelines for the rest of training camp. He had surgery last weekend. ESPN is reporting that Hobbs could return in time to play in the 2025 season opener against the Lions September 7th. A team source says Hobbs could have played with the injury, but that would have posed the risk that the problem could worsen. Former Badger safety Hunter Waller tells reporters he's trying anything to stay on the field. Waller was a seventh-round draft pick by the Colts. Sports Illustrated says he's showcasing his versatility in pursuit of an NFL job, moving up near the line of scrimmage as a linebacker, and making his mark as a special teams player. Waller is expected to make the team, but he's trying to show coaches everything he can during training camp. Also in football news from Vikings camp, Minnesota Viking wide receiver Jordan Addison has been suspended for 3 games by the NFL. The suspension is due to a violation of the league's personal conduct policy related to a drunken driving case from last year. That is an update on sports during Pat Kreitlow Mornings from WRCE, FM 107.7, and AM 1450. It was great to see many people out at the Richland County Fairgrounds last night for National Night Out, a perfect night for it. And so thank you if you had a chance to attend that event. Keep it tuned right here for updates from WRCE. This is Phil Nee wishing you well on a Wednesday.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W29. 9CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Health Secretary Robert Kennedy ordering a halt to all funding that's used for research on any vaccines that utilize mRNA technology. Those shots, many doctors say, save millions of lives during the pandemic. Texas Republicans doing whatever they can to force out-of-state Democrats to vote on new congressional maps. Here's ABC's Mary Bruce.
Well aware of his party's narrow majority in Congress and the midterms approaching, President Trump is now arguing Republicans are entitled to more seats in Texas simply because he won the state.
I won Texas. I got the highest vote in the history of Texas, as you probably know. And we are entitled to 5 more seats.
But the congressional map is not linked to presidential races. Instead, it's usually tied to the once-a-decade census.
And this is a mid-decade census. Senator Marsha Blackburn announcing today she's running for governor of Tennessee. Smoke from Canadian wildfires still making air quality poor in the U.S. This is ABC News.